Oh, yeah. I just don't talk to him about it. I just I don't want to talk about it. Ate up there and just... I think he just likes giving me a hard time, actually. I think he probably does agree. I mean, he's very safe. He wears pads and all that, so he just likes having something to give me a hard time about.
Mic on. City Council will come back to order. If I could get two more members, we don't have to do this over. Sergeant at Arms, do you want to go? Would you mind going to get them? Yeah. Yeah, do you have a
double extra large?
Thank you.
Are you really
adult? I'm trying not to.
Do you have an XL? Maurice already gave me one. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, this might be too big.
Do you have a small?
Another double. No, small is like
a lot of extra. I love a large.
Show off.
Or an extra large.
Yeah. Show off.
Thank you. They're great shirts. Thanks for all your work.
Good job.
Mine's already hanging in my window, in my office. Yeah.
Sure. It's going to be way too big on me.
Sure.
Large?
Yeah, medium or large.
Small, I thought.
All right. City Council will come back from recess. We're going to continue on with our agenda. Can you please read the title for... Did you do any of the emergency, any of the regular?
Oh, no, we didn't do any regular.
Okay, can you, I'm going to bounce ahead to the, where is that at? The water.
997.
Hmm?
997.
Can you please read the title for item number 997, the procurement report?
Accept guaranteed maximum price of $57,250,000 from Hoffman Construction Company of Oregon for the construction of the Kelly Butte Reservoir Project.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Turn it over to Christine.
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In June 2010, City Council authorized the use of a CMGC process for the Kelly Butte Reservoir Project. Through this process, an RFP was issued and four responses were received. The responses were evaluated by a five-person selection committee, which included city staff, representatives from the community, and one minority evaluator. Hoffman Construction Company of Oregon was the highest scoring proposal. The city then entered into contract negotiations, and now you have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award for a guaranteed maximum price of $57,250,000. The city and Hoffman agreed to a community benefits agreement that I spoke about a while ago. And I will turn this over to David Schaff, Water Bureau Administrator, to answer any technical questions about this project that council might have.
What was the original estimate?
The original estimate was $70 million.
What came in about $13 million less than?
That's correct. Budgeted. That's correct. That's one of the benefits of the CMGC process that we talked about 2 years ago. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Water Bureau. I don't really plan on having much to say. This is, we're prepared to move forward. As soon as you give us the go-ahead, then we will give the notice to proceed to Hoffman Construction. You know about the project. It's to upsize the Kelly Butte storage tank from the existing 10 million to 25 million gallons.
Council discussion. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. There has been a lot of work done on this project, and we are now at a significant point in the whole compliance system for covering the reservoirs or putting them underground as required under current federal law. And so I believe that there's an opportunity here to look at, is this the most cost-effective way to move forward, or should we be asking the Oregon Health Authority, which now has primacy on making these decisions, for an alternative method, which is and could be a lot cheaper? So I believe we have a lot of community testimony on that issue, and so I'd like to get moved to that. And thanks to folks for waiting for the morning.
Well, I just want to put on the record that we have asked the Oregon Health Authority for a timeline extension. They've denied that request. So the agreement that the council adopted in 2009 of the timeline and the work schedule is the one that the Oregon Health Authority will enforce.
And thank you for pointing that out, Commissioner Leonard. That's something that has changed since this contract was put out for a discussion, is that the Oregon Health Authority did deny our request for a timeline and extension, and that's why I believe it's important to have a discussion now as to whether this is the right way to move forward.
All right, let's get to public testimony in the order that people signed up.
I think we have about 19 people signed up. The first four, please come on up, are Betty Steflick, John McLaren, Greg Snyder, and Floyd Jones. And they'll be followed by Jeff Boley, Stephanie Stewart, Regna Merritt, and Kent Crayford.
Hi, welcome.
Hello. Well, good day, Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Saltzman. My name is Bette Steflick, and I've been a Portland resident for 25 years and an Oregon resident for 35 years. And I think Portland and the state of Oregon are two of the most beautiful places that anyone could live. And I appreciate all the amenities and natural resources this place has to offer, and this is why I'm here today. You have a choice today how you comply with the EPA LT2 ruling. I ask that you deeply weigh in and change your decision. Do not authorize to award Hoffman Construction the contract to build Kelly Butte Reservoir. Instead, I appeal to your sense of care for your fellow humans to choose the Hypalon Reservoir covers at Reservoirs 1 and 5 at Mount Tabor and Reservoirs 3 and 4 at Washington Park, which will comply with this ruling. Each side can challenge the other with their scientific data, financial cost, who they think is the most right and best. But if you base your decision solely on scientific data, financial cost, and political agenda, we are all missing a very big point. Scientific data is constantly changing. Breakthroughs are happening every minute, just as quickly as postulated theory is refuted. That means it can be variable, and a better solution can be coming down the road. Money costs are relative to the decade, the economic climate, and the person who's doing the calculating, which makes this arbitrary. Political agenda is wanting your side to win at all costs. But what isn't variable, changeable, and arbitrary is respect towards nature, our natural resources, and the humans who interact with these resources. What you're deciding upon isn't confined to this room. This decision is about the next 125 years, what the next 125 years will look like. This is your legacy, which is not variable, arbitrary, and changeable, but it's permanent and frightening if you decide to bury our beautiful Bull Run water. If you're nearly half a century old or nearly, then you've lived your life. Who your decision really impacts are your children, your grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. What will their future be? Healthy immune systems or little bodies riddled with cancer? Joy and laughter or fearful faces confused from undiagnosed illnesses? Their well-being and peace of mind depends on the city commission who took care with their life. model for them what it looks like to grow up as a vital, productive citizen who loves nature and is willing to defend it. This is the way to what your legacy will mean. It only takes your goodwill to visualize the future. I appeal to you to utilize your good mind, weigh in with your heart, and vote with moral courage. Take the lead with right action for Portland and our city water. Choose the Hypoline covers. I trust you will. Your grandchildren will thank you.
Mayor, before we take another testimony, can I make a unanimous request application? I have an item 999 that if this goes according to schedule, would probably be bumping into the lunch hour. And I know you're trying to balance a lot. Would the council consider just starting the afternoon session with that and giving me 10 minutes to complete that work so I can send the staff person home, or is it your intention to have it be the last thing we do at the end of all the matters this morning, this afternoon?
I'm happy to have it be the first thing after lunch.
And I promise you no presentation. It'll just be okay. Questions and then a vote.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If I could, this is a very important issue, as you've underscored, and you use the word cancer. What scientific evidence do you have that...
I only had 3 minutes.
No, I'm asking you now. What scientific evidence do you have?
I don't have that with me.
What scientific evidence have you looked at that the option before us, the proposal before us, will cause cancer?
Radon. Radon doesn't have the...
I mean citations. I understand what people say.
I don't have that with me. I wasn't prepared for that. I only expected to have 3 minutes today.
But you've seen scientific evidence about this.
I have read documents. I have read.
Okay. So quite a statement to make. Hi.
Good morning. Floyd Jones with Friends of the Reservoirs. And Friends of the Reservoirs are here to advocate for a change in Portland's LT2 reservoir compliance plan to Hypoline covers at the open reservoirs. Our support for this compliance option is similar to our support in 2009 for designing a Bull Run UV radiation plant over a chemical filtration plant. Bottom line is, if we're going to waste money on LT2 projects that will provide no measurable public health benefit, then let's waste the least amount of money possible. Hypoline-like covers versus the Kelly Butte tank is compliance at the lowest cost. Friends of the Reservoirs and our coalition of supporters do not support abandoning the fully functioning historic reservoirs at Mount Tabor. We support preservation over new construction. A Hibbett's poll that was shared with the Water Bureau last year also said that the public supports maintenance over new construction. The public does not support the Water Bureau's plan to demolish the open reservoirs at Washington Park. The Hypoline cover compliance plan supports savings versus waste, preservation versus new construction, and common sense versus over-engineering. It supports community over bureaucracy. In June, Mayor Adams, we heard you on talk radio say that you were still working to preserve Portland's historic open reservoirs. Some months earlier, you told the Portland Business Alliance that you would stop the $90 million Kelly Butte project. This cover plan will allow you to accomplish both of those things. We are in agreement with New York City, Rochester, and New Jersey that all of the currently available LT2 open reservoir compliance options are onerous and unsupported, but the compliance strategy of Hypoline covers is the most fiscally responsible method of compliance and is in line with community values. The Hypoline cover plan will save ratepayers upwards of $138 million, preserve our open reservoirs, and allow Portland, like New York, Rochester, and others, to benefit from the revision of the LT2 rules scheduled to be complete by March of 2016. Kelly Butte approval commits ratepayers to spending $230 million for a problem that doesn't exist. Friends of the Reservoirs are here for the long haul. We will continue to inform the public and work towards preservation of our Bull Run open reservoir system.
Floyd, can I ask you two questions?
Sure.
Just to make sure I understand your position, and I appreciate all the documentation we got before today's hearing. The first is, do you agree or disagree with the position of the Water Bureau that the reservoirs will require seismic upgrades at some point?
Well, in 2004, there was a $500,000 reservoir panel that went on for 3 months. And the Water Bureau put forward all of their arguments, very extensive arguments. They dealt with age and condition, security, historic significance, costs, all of those issues. Reservoir seismic upgrades was not brought into the picture until the last 2 weeks. An anonymous phone call, as Mayor Adams might remember, was made to the Urban League member and then brought to the panel. And the panel didn't have time to thoroughly explore that. What they concluded is that any issue of seismic upgrade should be considered, as a city issue. Look at all of the issues that need upgrades. We went to the Department of Geology at PSU back then and spoke to their professors and got maps. We also went to the Water Bureau and looked at the dam 12th report from Mount Tabor based on the hydroelectric plant that's at Mount Tabor, and none of those indicated that there was any high risk for any dam breakage. The biggest risk, according to documents in the Water Bureau, in addition to that, the Infrastructure Master Plan, which is the document that outlined all the major projects for the Water Bureau over the next 25 or 30 years, they listed out several projects. They evaluated which projects needed to be addressed seismically, and open reservoirs was not included. The Sandy River Crossing project was on there, and replacing one of the conduits, the east-west conduits. So this is something that should be brought back to a panel. It's not related to LT2 compliance. So, there may be some need for that, but it's not something that should be decided related to LT2. So that should be further explored in the context of what the reservoir panel suggested. And I would recommend that you bring back a reservoir panel.
Oh, that was a very thoughtful response. And what I heard was a maybe.
A maybe is something that should be examined by a panel at a future date.
And the second question I wanted to ask you has to do with public process around the fact this is a historic district, and we have zoning code and the historic designation. If we were to adopt your proposal here, what, in your judgment, is the minimal public process that the city would have to follow in order to proceed with that option?
Well, I'm not a land use expert, but I know they're the different levels, and I've read some of what the Water Bureau has put out there, so I don't know whether it would be a type 3, type 4 conditional use process. I'm not an expert in land use.
Thank you. Hi.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, good afternoon. My name is John McLaren, and I strongly favor keeping the open reservoirs as they are uncovered. I live near Mount Tabor Park. In my opinion, the ambience of the showcase park would be severely compromised if the reservoirs were permanently capped. But if they must be closed, I support the floating fabric covers option as proposed by Commissioner Fritz. In my opinion, this compliance strategy would allow the city to, in effect, cover its best bets, plus save a lot of money in the process. If it seems likely the onerous LT2 rule is revised or thrown out, the covers could be removed and the reservoirs restored. A great outcome that would be widely applauded. Thanks for your attention.
Thanks for your testimony. Next four.
Are Jeff Boley, Stephanie Stewart, Regna Merritt, and Kent Crayford?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Would you like to begin?
Certainly. I'm Jeff Boley. I'm president of the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association. I'd like to begin by making it clear for the record that that our association supports all of the points that were just made by the Friends of the Reservoirs representative, Boley Jones, just so we're clear on that. I'd like to begin by answering a question that Commissioner Saltzman has posed, which I agree is a very good one. That is that in 2004, we were all on record as very much opposing these type of covers, and here we are now supporting it. What gives? So I want to explain that, because I think there is a very good, clear answer. Back in 2004, the question was whether or not the reservoirs were going to be covered at all. LT2 hadn't even been adopted. So what we were looking at is all of the options that might be available to deal with that that circumstance. And we were opposed to anything that involved covering because we didn't think it was necessary. It's only become necessary in the interim because the federal government adopted an LT2. So there has been a major change in the rules, if you will. And so we are responding then to the new circumstances, which is LT2, and we see that our choices there are these two options, one extremely expensive and destructive of these historic reservoirs, and the others being relatively inexpensive and also something where there's flexibility. It keeps our options open. So given those two choices, we see that as a pretty pretty easy call. And that's the reason why we had one position back then, but a different position now, which we think is totally consistent. The bottom line is that once these reservoirs are destroyed, and talk about complying with the land use laws, I mean, there's no, you compare
all right.
Destruction versus...
Your time's up.
Okay.
Thank you for letting us know the position of the neighborhood.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Stewart. I speak on behalf of the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association and with the support of a unanimous vote at our last neighborhood meeting for the position that I'm talking about today. Hybalon-like covers are one of EPA's approved methods of LT2 compliance. They're cheaper, and they make us fully compliant. At this moment, it's common sense versus over-engineering. It's preservation versus new construction. Always before, in the LT2 conversation, you've been forced to align yourselves counter to Portland's culture. You've had to choose over-engineering and new construction when what you wanted was common sense and preservation, but not anymore. There is no reason to continue on with the Kelly Butte project or any other part of the Water Bureau's current compliance plan. You have a new option, one that wasn't on the table before. And you have time within the current compliance schedule to cause a slight pause and make a switch. The groups that have opposed this option in the past support it today. Business, public health, environmental, equity, and neighborhood groups are all on board. The groups that oppose your current compliance plan support this plan. The groups that have opposed every form of compliance on principle alone support this plan. You have to reject Water Bureau's attempts to muddle the conversation at the last minute with untested claims that these structures are unsafe and too old. These are old arguments. They've been addressed before in other forums, and we can address them again if the community desires. LT2 is a federal beast that has stripped us of local power. We dare not mix into our relationship with LT2 any other project, or we unnecessarily hand over local control on those issues as well. Every other non-LT2 project should be staged, costs, and approach in a way that best suits our community without the LT2 gun to our heads. The Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association supports a change in your compliance strategy to include flexible Hypalon light covers. Thank you.
Stephanie, could you just talk about the process? Because the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association had been some of the most opposed to covers in the past, and what kind of discussions you had to come to this conclusion?
Well, I think people in my neighborhood and on my board, it started at the board level, but very quickly moved to a neighborhood-wide discussion. I think people can see that we're at a crossroads here. This is not an easy decision for anyone to come to, but you know, we're the guy in the canyon with his arm caught under a rock. It's time to make a tough choice if we want to have the freedom to move on. And this new option puts us in compliance and keeps options open for a future in which new legal options may be available within the rule.
And some folks have expressed some concern that the neighborhood associations might oppose covers in the land use review process. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I can't speak to what processes are before us. I don't know the land use processes well enough to know for sure what this particular project would face. And I personally would not be willing to go stating limiting anyone's rights to any form of public process. But from what I see within my neighborhood, I see people who are behind this option today. And I think that speaks highly of this option.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Greetings. My name is Regna Merritt, and I'm here representing Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. We have 2,000 physicians and public health advocates in our organization, and we're here to ask you for your help. Our members remind you today that there is no scientific evidence that either covering or treating open reservoirs is likely to have a demonstrable health benefit. Yet we must and will comply with LT2 requirements. Indeed, PSR supports a cost-effective and sensible alternative to the expensive plan promoted by the Portland Water Bureau. The letter submitted by the coalition, which you have, requests that the city, request of the Oregon Health Authority, a specific strategy for compliance with LT2, one which has been approved by the EPA many times before and for many different communities. We heard in the work session earlier this summer that the Oregon Health Authority has said that they don't care how we get to compliance, just that we meet the schedule. This alternative can meet that schedule. And I'll just add that if there's a land use planning process that comes up as a result of a good decision on your part today, we will be there to support the covers in that land use process. While we understand those concerns voiced about aesthetics, you must understand that we've been with the Neighborhood Association vetting this proposal with others all over the course of the summer. And so we have the support from groups as diverse as the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Audubon, Portland Business Alliance, the Central and Eastside Industrial Council, top infectious disease expert at OHSU, and even groups, as Stephanie said before, who have not been in agreement with our coalition in the recent past. Today, we're not talking about compliance or non-compliance with LT2. We're talking about your support or non-support for the most expensive form of LT2 compliance as promoted by the Portland Water Bureau. We're talking about your support or non-support for the form of compliance which effectively forecloses the city's opportunities to further engage in the current EPA review of the rule. Support for the Kelly Butte contract would fly in the face of your stated commitment to the city's number one federal legislative priority. So we ask, which legacy do you want to leave? Demolished historic reservoirs, which were recently upgraded to take us to the year 2050, a huge rate increase and staggering debt, or preservation of our water system and a stellar history of providing affordable, safe drinking water. Please do not support this contract, and please do support the community alternative, which fully complies with LT2, will save us hundreds of millions of dollars, and is consistent with the city's top federal legislative priority. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You said that, Regna, that the group looked at, there's a factual statement in there that I'm
going to ask everyone for citations. He said that you, your group, the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, found no evidence that covering the reservoirs would improve.
There is no evidence. There is no scientific evidence that either covering or treating open reservoirs is likely to have any demonstrable public health benefit, despite the massive cost. So we're going for the cheaper alternative.
I don't want you to read the whole statement again.
What
do you base that on? Review of what?
This has been in discussion with public health experts, even those.
What have you reviewed? What has the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility reviewed in terms of scientific evidence?
We've reviewed the Portland Water Bureau's own documents, including the request for variance for the open reservoirs. We've reviewed testimony of public health officials. We've talked to public health officials. We've talked to people at the state. We've talked to epidemiologists, infectious disease experts.
And is that information on your website or something? Your review? Who you talked to?
I'd be happy to provide you with a list of and citations. Yes, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I've heard that come from the mouths of people on this council, too. So.
No, I'm asking you, not the mouths of people on the council. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be happy to provide you with that this afternoon.
Great.
Like.
Thanks. Mr. Crop.
Good afternoon. My name is Kent Crayford. I'm here representing the Portland Water Users Coalition. We're a group of large industrial, commercial water and sewer customers in the city. Just to add to what Regna said, you and I can share this with your staff, Mayor Adams. The Water Bureau participated in a 2009 American Water Works Association study on Cryptosporidium and LT2, in which 7,000 samples of water were taken at our open reservoirs, none of which contained any contaminants covered by the rule. And that is a scientific document, and we can share that with your staff. Further, I'd like to point out that as of today, we have the chief of microbiology at OHSU, Dr. Tom Ward, signed onto our letter. I think nobody in the city may know Cryptosporidium and infectious diseases better than he. And if you want a credible scientific opinion on this community alternative plan, I encourage you to be in touch with Dr. Ward. I'd also, the Portland Water Users Coalition supports this community compromise plan to install Hypalon-like covers at the open reservoirs. I want to point out that this was very difficult to reach this position. And as Jeff and Stephanie discussed, they have tremendous support from the neighborhood associations that they represent. That was not easy to get. This is a bitter pill to swallow, but the alternative is worse. What we're encouraging you to do today is accept that olive branch, not turn your back on it. For many years, we have alleged that the Portland Water Bureau and the city are using the LT2 rule as a pretext to promote other Water Bureau projects that we believe to be unnecessary. Your vote today will either prove us right or prove us wrong. If we move forward with the community's alternative plan for Hypalon covers at the open reservoirs, we are in full compliance. We aren't thumbing our nose at the EPA. We aren't rejecting the fact that we need to be in compliance with the law. We won't send David Schaff to jail. We'll be in full compliance. We'll do it at a much lower cost, and we'll be able to preserve these historic structures. Today, we can decouple LT2 from all the other Water Bureau priorities. We encourage you to not choose spending over savings, not choose demolition over preservation, not choose coercion over collaboration. Please work with these people. Take this olive branch. Let's move in a better direction, and let's save a lot of money for Portland ratepayers.
Let me ask you a few questions, if I could. because you've been fighting the good fight on this for a long time, and I have always appreciated the reasonable tone that you've adopted in these discussions here and in private. As I want to break out some of the things that you said, first of all, do you agree that we are required to comply with the LT2 timeline?
Yes.
Do you believe the city is doing an adequate job of fighting the regulatory requirements?
No.
Despite all the hearings we've had here where we've documented things the city has done, you do not believe the city is adequately contesting the regulatory guide. You honestly and sincerely believe the city is not adequately addressing that issue?
110%. And I shared with you a document that really underscores this. In 2009, March 25th of 2009, the Water Bureau brought to you one LT2 compliance option, one. Not a suite of options, not reasonable alternatives, but one option. And when were they going to submit that option to the Oregon Health Authority? That afternoon. So how is that doing everything we can be doing to avoid this tremendous expense? This city council has been railroaded into this Portland Water Bureau preferred plan. That is my belief.
Okay, and it makes for a great headline, but you know, I will just tell you respectfully, I've been at a lot of these hearings, and I've almost gotten to the point where I dread when Commissioner Leonard pivots and tells the story of all the efforts that have been made, because I've heard it so many times.
Yeah.
Not once ever has someone come to me and disputed anything that he has stated in terms of lawsuits, appeals to political leadership, meetings with regulatory bodies, revisiting lawsuits, further follow-up meetings with leadership, meetings with senators. I've never had someone ever, now you said it's a railroad, and I appreciate you have that point of view, but I will tell you that no one has ever, to me, ever disputed and contradicted anything that Commissioner Leonard has laid out since 2009 in terms of what the city has done. And at a certain point, I understand we can disagree, we can do, you know, you're entitled to your view, we have to struggle to come to our view, but I just find it incredible at this stage of the process to have someone as responsible as you say that the city hasn't done an adequate job in contesting this rule. And to say we've been railroaded is sort of like saying what you said earlier, that this is all a pretext for something. What you are saying is that both this commissioner and my colleagues have somehow been under some spell, have not taken their job very seriously, and have allowed people to either railroad them or feed them manure in the form of a pretext. And I actually am beginning to wonder whether as a democracy we can have reasoned debates if we keep going back to those kinds of statements. Disagree, I mean, finally at the end of a long process, and I've sat through hearing after hearing where people up here have been vilified, Commissioner Leonard has been personally attacked. I used to think it was just the far right that was vicious in their personal attacks. I now want to correct that. And still, I have waited for someone to come to me and show me the chink in the chain. I respect people's points of view. I look forward to these hearings and listening to the testimony of most of the people who come up here because they're thoughtful and reasonable. But I do not understand why today we can't even get consensus on the question of whether the city's done an adequate job to fight this rule. And it may be because there's nothing that this city can do which will satisfy some people, in which case it is possible, since we are making assumptions about people's motivations, that this alternate proposal is just another way to run out the clock. And by the way, I appreciate very much Regna's point about, you know, we'll try to monitor the land use proceeding. As I can tell you, watching other land use proceedings, one person can take us to LUBA and then can take us to the Supreme Court and can tie us up for years. One person. So I understand we can bank on your representations because I've come to understand that your word is your bond. There are 600,000 other people in our community who may have a difference of opinion and who can exercise their right. And I really worry, after all these years of thoughtful discussion, that we're back to a point where we're not doing enough, somehow we're acting in bad faith, and now here's the real litmus test going forward. And I'm a little disappointed because I think the debate has been conducted at a higher plane on and off. And I wonder whether there really is a place of agreement here or whether we're going to be stuck in this bad, you know, this sort of constant spiral of what I consider to be somewhat offensive accusations about people's motivations and dereliction of duty. You're free to state that publicly, and again, it makes for a nice headline, but I think it really demeans everybody here to say things like that.
Could I speak to that? I think the point is we have options, but all we ever hear is we don't have any options. We don't have any options. We're being forced to do this. That's not true. And I, like you, listen to Commissioner Leonard recount the history of everything the city has done. He did it at the most recent work session on this issue. And yes, I was there and Floyd was there and we helped, you know, select the attorneys to sue EPA and all that. But that was ancient history. That was years ago. Since 2009, that's when we're talking about this one option came before you and you forward this on. Since then, there's been no meaningful discussion about what our options are. We have options. We can prevent this.
And Kent, I appreciate that. The last thing I will say on this, because I want to give everyone a chance to testify, and I'm listening intently, and I'm reading the materials that we've been given. But I just think, in fairness, I remember another dispute that may not have risen to the same level, but that was pretty intense. And that had to do with whether we were going to decide to do a filtration plant or a UV alternative. And I can tell you from my limited experience in this job, it is not an easy thing to go against the recommendation of a commissioner in charge. And all of us spent a lot of time becoming conversant on the issues, and when it came to make a decision, we all did what each of us thought was the right thing. And a different decision came out of that process.
And that's all we're asking for today, the same thing.
Well, but my point is different. My point is, I think before we start painting with a broad brush, railroading and pretext, I think you ought to give us a little more credit for the way we're trying to engage this thing thoughtfully. And not just today, but looking to the next 100 years of this city's history. And I, you know, you're entitled to your view, but I also have a slightly different view of the integrity of this body. So thank you.
Commissioner Seltzman.
Well, I certainly respect this, the Hypalon cover option as being a compliance option, and appreciate Commissioner Fritz, you know, bringing this to our attention, as have you labored over this. But I really have to ask you, I mean, to me, it just comes down to, I mean, I know it's a costly option to do Kelly Butte, but the Hypalon cover option is really sort of, I sense, prefaced on the notion that, you know, either President Obama or President Romney is going to somehow repeal the LT2 or change it. And, you know, my recollection is LT2 was originated under Republican President George Bush, finally promulgated, I believe, under, again, President George Bush. So I just don't know. And even if this were to be changed at the federal level, with the state having primacy and the fact that you can't build a new reservoir today without covering it, that there's no guarantee our state, and there's no necessity that they would have to change their opinion. And I think we've heard from our state health authority that they're not about to change their opinion. But I really want to get to the sort of the public acceptance issue, because I know there's a cost premium for the Kelly Butte option and rebuilding and burying the Washington Park Reservoir. But, you know, aesthetically, I mean, can any of you honestly say that if you went out to Mount Tabor Reservoir on a day like this, or Washington Park, I was there, I think, just 2 days ago checking out the Fairview Boulevard skate route, that if you just stood out there and asked your random person in the street question, do you think any less than 10 out of 10 people would think covering Mount Tabor Reservoir with plastic is absurd?
That's why we vetted this all summer, and those were precisely the questions we asked.
Well, I just beg to differ. I mean, you know, with all due respect to neighborhood associations have a dynamic, but I don't think that's necessarily speaking for all the park users who use Washington Park, Mount Tabor, and these are city residents too. They're city residents and ratepayers. But I just don't think the plastic option really passes the straight face test, and we would be facing a much larger crowd at some future city council meeting or some ballot measure to reverse the action out of aesthetics. We'd have historic resource advocates right down our throats saying, you know, how dare you alter the historic aspect of Mount Tabor or Washington Park reservoirs?
Well, how dare you destroy Washington Park?
You will be
Park
altering
reservoir.
Them when you move forward with the current plan.
And I'll turn it over to you. Let me finish. But I just really don't think, you know, and the public often doesn't find out about things until too late. And I really don't think that they would support this option. And we would be facing a much more hostile crowd if we were proposing to cover Mount Tabor and Washington Park with plastic. And that's what it comes down to. It's covering with plastic, and that does not look good to anybody. And I've been this route before with Washington Park and Jeff Boley when I was Water Bureau.
Yeah, and I know you have, but whenever you ask that question, you have to ask at what cost. So if you tell people what it's going to cost to destroy the historic reservoirs, build the underground tanks, and that, you know, that's part of the whole, that's a whole part of the equation, they get it.
I'm not sure. You know, I think, first of all, if you get the opportunity to have that maybe two-minute conversation, they may get it. But I think a lot of people also realize that our water infrastructure, you know, nothing's more important than drinking water. And that's been recognized since the founders, or whoever, went 40 miles east of here and decided this place was going to be the source of our drinking water, Bull Run, not the Willamette River. And ever since, there's been a certain quality and aesthetic to our drinking water system infrastructure. And I think people want to see us continue that tradition, and then they feel that, you know, it may be a cost premium, and it is. But the alternative of looking at plastic-covered reservoirs is unacceptable. And I think a majority, like I said, I would wager I could stand up there at Mount Tabor, and 10 out of 10 people would think I'm crazy for talking about covering this reservoir with plastic. So I made my statement. Questions, I'll give you a chance to respond.
What do you think the reaction would be from the public if the headline is that the Portland City Council voted today to demolish the open reservoirs at Washington Park and Mount Tabor?
I think we're rebuilding. I shouldn't weigh in here, but Jeff, we're not. We're putting a tank underneath the reservoir at Washington Park. At your neighborhood's request.
This plan needs.
Excuse me. I've been very patient and listened to a lot of things being said here. They're just flat not true. But Jeff, we're replacing Washington Park's open reservoir with a tank beneath it, filling it back up with water. So it has the actually look at that white cover that you don't like that is currently lining will no longer be there. And it's because that's what the neighborhood asked for. Your neighborhood threatened to chain themselves to the fences surrounding the reservoirs the day that a truck came to do what Washington Park neighborhood agreed to do, to bury tanks underneath the reservoir and fill them up with water. Threatened to chain yourself in a circle around the fences. That's what dictated the different strategy.
That's old news now.
No, it isn't old news. 2009, we had a compliance schedule that had to be submitted, and it wasn't railroaded through. It was submitted the way it was because of the vehement, and I'll go so far as to say violent, opposition to covering the reservoirs by Mount Tabor residents. Conversations I had one-on-one. And that you can shake your head no is incredible.
I just want to keep your focus. If you want to respond to my question. Do you think that the majority of the public would really support covering Mount Tabor?
I think if you laid the two options side by side, yes, actually, one does look like the lesser evil, and that's the new alternative plan. Destroying the reservoirs, leaving them empty, destroying one reservoir at Washington Park and burying a tank under another reservoir at Washington Park is the current plan. There is no plan for how to handle the structures at Mount Tabor, so either they will be empty and crumbling and rotting at that point, or what? I think when I have actually laid out the two current options on the table, the two bad options, the reaction is, we'll go with the less bad. And there is a belief that because the rule has been put under revision by executive order, that one of the good options that was originally in the rule when it was in draft form, that that option will return, and that will be a legal option that our city would have access to if we haven't already spent all of our money and damaged our reservoirs.
That's treatment after, or what?
It's the mitigation portion of the rule that was taken out during the draft process, that was taken out between draft publication and final publication.
Mitigation to what end?
There are options within most EPA rules for, they specify standards and then they specify methods to get to those standards.
Security.
Mitigation is one.
Security
of,
and such? Thanks. I got what I needed. Yeah. You had your hand up?
Could I speak to Commissioner Saltzman's question?
Sure.
I think that will be very challenging. I don't think people will react well to it initially. I think it will require a lot of education. And I think that's what you're seeing here today is our commitment to work with you to ensure that that happens. I will testify at land use hearings. We will go to public meetings. We will do what necessary to convey to our neighbors and constituents that this is the least bad option. But I think I also think that the covers going on these reservoirs could be the jolt in the arm that we need to get the congressional delegation to get us relief. We don't want to see these covers on there. They're not going to want to see the covers on there. And the question is going to be asked, why is New York City getting out of this? What have they done right that Portland has done wrong? Why has Michael Bloomberg and Chuck Schumer been able to secure relief for New York City, but the Portland City Council and its delegation have not?
So the relief you're talking about is the delay, the difference schedule.
Yes, the commitment that Chuck Schumer received from EPA, that EPA was going to rewrite the rule and indicated to New York that they would get a reprieve from covering
their reservoir. Okay, I accept your answer. I respect you. But with all due respect, what you're saying in essence is we should go ahead and do this, then face the popular uprising, and then that will awaken our congressional delegation,
yep,
which may or may not have any impact. So
that's
you're
right.
Asking us to, you know, really go through the hell that I think would result from our decision.
We're asking you to take a risk. The good news is you save a lot of money doing it. Is it without? Is it an easy option? Absolutely not. This is very hard. This is a choice between two bad options. But this is the least bad option.
You said that we'd save some money, but I think also in fairness, if we went down that path and the other part of your strategy did not pan out, we would, in fact, have to address the seismic issues of these things for the long term. And the cost may end up being quite comparable. And then what have we accomplished?
Well, but you also have to take into account the fact that the Water Bureau's own consultant said the reservoirs would last to 2050. We could be able to extend the life of these existing reservoirs another generation, and that makes a lot
Who
of difference
you?
In terms
Citation.
Of the money.
What
Montgomery
consultant?
Watson Harza's, the Water Bureau can provide you.
Shaking
the,
their heads behind you.
Well, we will get the document to you then. You know, I'll say
right.
about the seismic. Can I just address the seismic
If it's
thing?
Quick. There are other people that
you
have
know,
signed up to testify.
The mayor was questioning the first lady that spoke about her comment about the reservoir covers causing cancer and evidencing some skepticism of that argument. Where's the scientific evidence? These seismic claims are equally specious. Where is the study? Where is the expert?
Okay.
Where
we got
is
your point.
The proof
we'll ask them.
A seismic threat to these reservoirs.
So you proposed that we do downstream treatment of reservoir water, and you say that according to a presentation of the Mount Tabor Independent Review Panel by McGuire Environmental, option 3, treatment of open finished reservoir effluents,
that you propose upwards between $106 and $151 million for UV treatment. And this was in 2004, so that estimate, I assume, is up or down, whichever. So you're proposing ultraviolet treatment on Mount Tabor, and I guess have you really thought that through, the implications of that?
We're simply proposing that it be considered. It's never been considered. You've only considered one option,
no,
the Water Bureau's
you've got
option.
It on your paper as a proposal.
I'm sorry. I don't see where our coalition is proposing this. We believe it should be considered.
You would propose this option. No, you don't propose this option.
We believe that all the reasonable
are you proposing the option or not?
We're not proposing any. We are today proposing a Hypalon-like cover as a last ditch option.
So the downstream,
what we would like to do
the downstream treatment, you're not proposing. You just put it out there.
We believe that all these options should be given equal consideration.
I'm just asking you a simple question. You're not proposing.
I'm sorry, I'm not giving you the answer you
want.
Well,
you're not proposing. You are, or you're not proposing the downstream ultraviolet treatment system. Would your coalition support that?
We support considering it. We'd like to know what it costs. We'd like to know what it entails. We'd like to know what our colleagues and the neighborhoods think about it. We'd like to know what the trade-offs are.
Since there are so many questions around it and you don't know what the price is, you do know that it was upwards of $151 million in 2004. Aren't you, and I mean this respectfully, aren't you engaging in what you criticize others for doing by putting it down here as an option?
What we want to see is all of the reasonable options for complying with this rule considered on an equal footing.
And in 2004, you yourself note in your footnote, it was part of the consideration process.
No, it was one slide on a PowerPoint.
Before the independent review panel review, I see. So you're saying it wasn't compliant enough?
No, no.
The other question I have for you all is, why do you use the word Hypalon when it's plastic?
That was the original brand name for the first discussion. Sure.
Okay.
It's a flexible plastic cover.
It's like, kayaks or...
I don't have a problem with the word plastic.
But we all agree it's a form of plastic, right? I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have a difference of opinion here. Okay, thanks.
And Mayor, if I could just draw everybody's attention back to the paper with the red ink at the top, which this coalition is supporting consideration of the Hypalon covers and asking for rejection of today's contract. I have been doing, obviously, a lot of talking to folks at doorsteps and at community meetings. What I'm hearing overwhelmingly is whatever is cheaper, and that Portlanders are crying out for rate relief on the Water Bureau rates, and that's what I'm interested in discussing today, is the most cost-effective alternative. I'm troubled by the current plan because there is no estimate or even any concept of what would happen to the Mount Tabor reservoirs should they be taken offline. And those costs need to be considered. Either they'll be emptied or they'll need to be seismically upgraded. Either one of those has significant costs. So that should be part of our discussion today.
And it will
be. But you were given a cost.
You
were given a cost estimate to put plastic on the reservoirs that was $250 some million.
No, actually.
But you've discounted out of that because it doesn't work to seismically upgrade the reservoirs, which our engineers have said has to be done if they're going to be the replacement water storage facility for the city of Portland. That would be like saying you're going to put a roof on your house, you strip the old roof off, you find dry rot underneath the old roof, and you decide to save money by just putting the new roof over the dry rot. That does not save money.
We just spent $40 million upgrading the reservoirs, and the last contract was just finished out last March.
They were not seismically upgraded.
It's about the timing.
You can characterize this any way you want. You can say a fact is a fact. That doesn't make it a fact.
Well,
you can say what happened, and that doesn't make it true that that happened. What I'm telling you is what the engineers have told us, what they've given us, a voluminous response to the question, how much does it cost to cover the reservoirs? I've given that, but you all have subtracted out the part that doesn't fit your argument. And that's how this debate has gone since I've arrived on the council 10 years ago.
Could you share that seismic study with us?
The Water Bureau's memo, which we received last Tuesday after asking for it at the end of July, says we estimate
that took that long to produce.
Just installing floating covers would cost $25 million.
Right, and you discounted the rest of it, which said it had to be seismically upgraded.
The seismic upgrades are not required as part of the L2T process, we can do those as time goes by.
That's my point. You've decided what is appropriate, what not.